Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this morning, and then through that precious, all-worthy name of our Saviour, we thank Thee, O God, today for the privilege that is ours to come to address Thee and to worship Thee. And we pray, Lord, that today You'll come, be one of our number. Aid us, Lord, help us in our worship. And Lord, we pray that this day will be a blessed day and a good day in Thy house. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of Psalm number 1. The words will be on the screen. That man hath perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. Psalm number 1, and we'll stand together as we sing this opening psalm of praise, please. Let's stand and sing. Let's unite our hearts together, please. A word of opening prayer. Let's still our hearts and seek for God's help as we come to His Word today. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning very conscious again, Lord, just how much we need Thee. Lord, we thank Thee today that Thou hast bidden us to come. Lord, Thou hast told us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And O God, we come, Lord, today because we need Thee. Lord, vain is the help of man. Lord, we come to Thee today to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And Lord, of ourselves, we cannot do this. And so, Lord, therefore, we claim, and Lord, we crave the help of God the Holy Spirit. Come, be one of our number today. Come, Lord, aid us in our worship. Help us, O God, today, Lord, as we would lift our hearts to Thee. Lord, may we know with assurance that God is here. Lord, may we feel Thy presence. Lord, may we feel Thy touch. O God, we pray that we'll hear the voice of God. Lord, speak to us today. Lord, we pray that Thy word will have free course and be glorified amongst us here in God's house. Lord, we cry unto Thee today for that move of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray You'll speak into all of our hearts. O God, how much we need to hear Thee. Lord, how much we need Thy help today. Lord, we've come today to worship Thee. Lord, we realize, Lord, that of ourselves we cannot truly worship Thee as we ought. Therefore, O God, empty us of everything, Lord, that there is of us. And fill us, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and fill us with power. Lord, we pray You'll be pleased to send Thy Spirit amongst us today and pour out Your Holy Spirit today in a most remarkable way. O God, come, we pray, stand amongst us. Lord, may we, Lord, even as John on that Lord's Day in the Isle of Patmos, Lord, away from all others, Lord, yet he had that vision of the Lord walking amongst His church. O God, come and walk amongst us today. Come, Lord, and stir our hearts. We pray, Lord, today You'll bless all who have been enabled to gather in God's house. We thank the Lord for Your mercy. We thank the Lord for Thy grace. We thank the Lord for the health and the strength that You've given to us to be in God's house. And Lord, we look to Thee today. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll make this time of worship to be a very blessed time, a hallowed time. Lord, may we be conscious that God is here. Help us, Lord, as we read the Word. Lord, help us as we hear the Word. Our Father, we pray that You'll help us to be faithful to Thee and to the Word of God. Our Father, we pray that You'll remember those who cannot gather with us today. Remember, Lord, those especially who are unwell. Lord, we pray that You'll draw near to them. Attend to their needs at this time. Remember our sister Deborah, there in hospital at this time. Lord, we pray that You'll touch her, heal her. And Lord, we pray that she might, Lord, know that better measure of health and strength very soon. Give wisdom and, Lord, understanding to the doctors as they would treat and care for Deborah at this time. We pray, Lord, for all in our congregation who need that touch from Thee physically. Lord, those that need that touch spiritually. Lord, those who are far from God. Lord, those who have wandered away from Thee. Lord, those who have allowed the things of this old world to creep in. And Lord, eat up their love for Thee. O Heavenly Father, be merciful to them today. And Lord, restore to them, Lord, those years that the locusts have eaten. Our Father, we pray that You'll bring prodigals back to Thyself. Lord, encourage the people of God. Lord, build us up. Lord, lead us on. Take us forward in the work of God, we pray. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless throughout this day. Lord, bless already the word that has gone forth to the children in the Sunday school and to the young people in the Bible class. Bless that word, O God, we pray. Lord, we pray for our children. We pray for our young people. Lord, we pray that You'll keep them from the things of this world. And Lord, we pray that You'll bring back those that have wandered away. And Lord, we pray that this day our young people will know much of the blessing of God. Lord, as they live for Thee, serve Thee in this evil, wicked world, we pray, Lord, You'll put that protecting hedge around them, we ask. Our Father, we pray today for the going forth, Lord, of the Word of God here this morning. We pray, Lord, for the Sunday school again this afternoon in Hollywood. Lord, we pray for our gospel service tonight. We just, Lord, pray You'll bring in people from around this area. Lord, create that interest in the things of God. Lord, where there is no concern, we cry unto Thee, Lord, You'll create that concern. Lord, where there is indifference, Lord, take it away. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd be pleased to work in Ballyhackamore, Lord, across East Belfast, and yea, Lord, across this city. Lord, be pleased to pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us, we ask. Lord, we pray today for the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. Lord, for those who are serving Thee in this land and in other lands. Remember, Lord, the missionaries today. Lord, those who have gone at the call of God. And Lord, we pray You'll encourage them, be with them. Lord, we pray today for the persecuted church. Lord, those who do not have the liberties as we have to worship Thee publicly. Encourage Thy dear servants across the world at this time, we pray. Our Father, we pray that You'll remember every faithful preacher of the gospel. We ask, O God, that there will be, Lord, signs to follow the preaching of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember our brother Philip there in London this morning especially. Help him, Lord, as he would take up the work of God, as he would commence his ministry there in South Grove. Encourage him, be with him. And Lord, that even today, Lord, that You'll put a seal upon his ministry there, Lord, in the salvation of precious souls. Lord, answer prayer for him. Help he and Valentina, Lord, to settle in. Remember Joshua, Josiah, and Jessica. Lord, help them. Lord, as they would go to their new schools, Lord, help them to settle in quickly. Lord, there to that new community, and Lord, to that new area. And Lord, we pray it'll be noised abroad that there is a man of God again that has come, Lord, with the gospel of saving grace. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation. Lord, a nation that is far departed from Thee. Lord, be merciful to us. Lord, forgive us of our sins. And Lord, cause thy face to shine upon us once again. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the book of Ephesians and to the chapter 2. The book of Ephesians and the chapter 2. This being Reformation Sunday, there are certain themes that we want to look at this morning and again this evening that were fundamental and foundational to the great Protestant Reformation now 504 years ago. And chiefest amongst those is that of grace. And we want to look at that subject this morning of salvation by grace, and no greater passage of God's Word could we turn to than this chapter of grace of chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. Familiar verses, I know, but let's hear the Word of God and let's give attention to the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read together the first 10 verses of this chapter. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. May the Lord bless the short reading of his word to all of our hearts. Can I at this stage welcome you all and thank you for being with us this morning in God's house. Good to see you all in the house of God this morning. And as we meet together, it is our prayer that the Lord would come and meet with us. To those as well who are watching online, we welcome you in the Saviour's name as well this morning. So to you all, we welcome you. We're glad to welcome back some of our Scottish friends. We're glad to have Rachel with us, and also welcome back Annie Rose. I pray the Lord will bless you as you are at home for this little time. Can I just remind you, please, of the meetings that are ahead of us in the will of the Lord. To this afternoon at 2:30, we have our Hollywood Sunday School, and then our gospel service tonight at 6:30. Now, we'd love to see you back again for the gospel meeting tonight at 6:30. We're going to look tonight at the subject of what really is the gospel. We live in a very confused age, religiously and spiritually, and so we want to look tonight at what the gospel really is. And so we encourage you, come back, bring yourself, bring others with you to the gospel service this evening at 6:30. Tuesday morning, then, at 10 a.m., we are meeting here at the church to start the outreach for the distribution of our new outreach leaflet. There are 20,000 of these leaflets that have been printed, and we hope to get as many of these out as soon as possible during the month of November. Now, these leaflets are available here in the church for you today, and we encourage you to take some of them with you and use them even as a means of inviting someone that you meet, someone we'll not ever meet on outreach, and someone that we'll never be able to reach, you will be able to reach. And so you have a number of these with you, and take them with you and use them even throughout the week to invite someone along to church. But for those who can, we'll meet here on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. to commence that outreach. It will be simply by means of a letter drop, posting them through the letterbox. So if you can help us with that, that certainly would be much appreciated. And God willing, over the Tuesdays in the month of November, we will keep this outreach up every Tuesday morning for the month of November. For now, at 10 o'clock, we'll meet here at the church. Then on Tuesday evening as well, at 7 p.m, there is the Explorers Club. Thursday night, we're back to our normal format and our normal time for our Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. And we encourage you again to join with us. Friday night is presbytery meeting for our elders. And then for those who are not able to come during the week, we'll have another outreach this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. So if you can't help us on Tuesday morning, then perhaps you'll be able to help out on Saturday morning, meeting again here in the church at 10 a.m. to do another outreach. Let's remember as well, next Lord's Day, the services are all at the normal times. 10:15 is our Sunday school and Bible class. 11:30 will be our morning worship. And next Lord's Day morning, I hope to start a new series, a short series, mind you, but a new series entitled Help for Hurting Christians. I want to look at this subject and take various aspects of the hurt that Christians feel throughout their life and seek to bring biblical help and hope from the Scriptures. Then we have our Sunday school next Sunday afternoon in Hollywood at 2:30 and our gospel service next Sunday at 6:30. Next Sunday evening, God willing, our brother Mr. Robbie Hare will be back to sing for us in the gospel, and I'll be here to preach at both of those meetings. If you haven't as yet been able to bring your missionary boxes in, then please do that as soon as possible to either William or Richard. They'll get them emptied and then get them back to you. Do remember that in 2 weeks' time will be Remembrance Sunday, and we will have our remembrance service again here in the church at 6:30 in the evening time. Fortunately, again, because of the restrictions we're still under, we're not able to have the full quota of those laying wreaths, but there will be a number here to lay wreaths during that remembrance service. So please do remember that. That's the 14th of November at 6:30. And use this as an opportunity to invite people as well. Our elders, we will meet on Tuesday the 9th of November for a session meeting at 8 a.m. 8 p.m. We'll not meet at 8 a.m. And then for our committee, we'll meet on Tuesday the 23rd of November at 8 as well. Do remember our shoebox appeal. There are still some little leaflets give you the details of what you can put into your shoebox or as many shoeboxes as you wish to fill. We need those in by Sunday, the 21st of November. So if you can get those in, that certainly would be appreciated. Thank you to all those who have taken the time to do that thus far. Do remember those who need our prayers. Remember our sister Deborah Glenn. Deborah is taken into hospital, and do pray for Deborah that the Lord will touch her and strengthen her at this time. Do continue to remember our brother Tom Patterson as he continues on with his treatment this incoming week in the will of the Lord. No offerings being taken up, but you can place your money, your tithes and offerings into the boxes as you leave. There are still LTBS magazines available. These are free. If you haven't got one, please do take them with you. And then the LTBS calendars for next year, still some left. They're £3.50. Take one with you and you can pay Kyle at another time. I think these are all the announcements, and as always, they are made subject to the will of the Lord. We're to turn to another hymn just at this stage. Hymn number 208, Sound the Gospel of Grace Abroad. There's life in the risen Lord, spread the news of the gift of God. There's life in the risen Lord. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. Thank you. Can I ask you please to turn back with me God's Word to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We're going to be centering our thoughts upon all of these verses, by God's help, looking at them together this morning as we look at the subject of salvation by grace. But perhaps we could consider particularly the words of verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved." For by grace are ye saved. Let's just fill our hearts, please, in another word of prayer. And let's seek the Lord. If you don't love the Lord, I ask you, I plead with you, please pray with us and pray for us. God will give us help. And as we come to the Word of God this morning, it'll thrill our hearts. Maybe you've come today discouraged, disheartened. Life's been tough. It's been a hard week. I trust that as we come to God's Word today, it'll be joy, the rejoicing of our hearts as we remember and as we reflect on all that we have because of God's grace. There's no better word to cheer our hearts than the Word of God. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee today. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Lord, how we rejoice that it is the living Word of the living God. And I pray, O God, You'll give me help to preach this Word as I ought. Lord, I pray for power from on high. Lord, I pray for that help that I do not have of myself. O God, we pray You'll empty me of self, fill me with Holy Ghost power, we pray. Heavenly Father, give us help to preach, give us all help to hear. Lord, may Thy Word, Thy Word come, Lord, with freshness to our hearts today. Lord, while these truths we love, Lord, we know, yet, O God, we pray that may it be that we'll hear these truths for the first time. Lord, that these truths will thrill our hearts, encourage us, lift us, O God, we pray. Take us away, Lord, from those situations we have found ourselves in this week. Lord, bring us into that closer relationship with Thee. Lord, as we consider all that You've done for us, may we love Thee all the more. Answer prayer for us now. Give us help to preach. Give us help to hear. And Lord, through it all, may Thy name and Thy name alone be honored and glorified. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds all our sin and guilt. Wonderful grace. Greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? We all love to sing about the grace of God, and rightly so. We all rejoice in the grace of God, and rightly so. John tells us that it's out of Christ's fullness we have received grace upon grace. And many of the New Testament writers, as they're writing to individuals or to churches, they write with expressing their desire for the grace of Christ to be with His people. The very last words of Scripture are words of grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Because you see, grace is a constant and a recurring theme throughout the entire Scriptures of truth. The Reformers came to know and to love the importance of the grace of God. The Bible's teaching on the matter of salvation. One of the slogans, of course, that came to define the Reformation was sola gratia, which is Latin for by grace alone. We are saved by the grace of God alone. And that theme of grace became one of the great pillars of the Reformation as the great Bible truths were rediscovered and many were brought to see salvation is not of works. Salvation is not through anything we are, can do, but it is all by the unmerited, undeserved grace of God. And 504 years on from the great Protestant Reformation that we remember and we celebrate today, I think it is important that we today, the Church of Jesus Christ, rediscovers the riches of grace again. We live in a very mixed up, ecumenical, works-centered age. And we need to see the beauty of God's grace in salvation. Because I believe that when we see grace, and when we see all that grace has done, it will make us wonder, it will make us stand in amazement at the grace of God that has been shown to us. We hold dearly to the Reformed faith. The Reformed faith that tells us of the total depravity of man. The Reformed faith that tells us the sovereign election of the definite atonement, of the irresistible call of the persevering grace. And no matter which of those five great doctrines you look at, over them all is written the grace of God. They're all underpinned and underwritten by grace. Oh yes, they all stand in their own and they all teach us various truths about us and about our God. But there is one great truth that underpins it all, and it's God's grace. Without the grace of God, we who are lost and wretched would never and could never be saved. The problem today is that these truths are being diluted. The problem today is that these truths are being denied, and in so doing, they are diminishing the grace of God. And God has been robbed of His glory. Paul comes here in Ephesians chapter 2 to make a very clear and strong defense of the glory of God, but especially in the second chapter of the grace of God. Chapter 2 follows on from what he has been speaking about in chapter 1. You will know, of course, in the original manuscripts, there were no chapter divisions. They were put in by our authorized version translators so that would aid our memory and our teaching and our instructing. But in the original, there is no chapter divisions. And so chapter 2 just follows on naturally from chapter 1. And he continues on with this great theme of grace. All that we have because of grace. Maybe this morning you find yourself in God's house trouble. As a child of God, you know you haven't lost your salvation. We can never lose our salvation. But the old devil has come and robbed you of the joy of your salvation. Things are tough and things are hard, weighed down with cares and troubles. Well, I pray that as we look at this chapter this morning, that God will thrill our hearts. God will refresh us. God will renew us. As we recall to mind that what we are today, we are by the grace of God. I want you to see, first of all, with me here in Ephesians chapter 2, the pity of grace. The pity of grace. Because Paul opens chapter 2 with a very vivid description of the people to whom grace has been extended. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened. Now just stop there for a moment. That word quickened there, it means to make alive, to bring to life. And we'll look at that in a little more detail in a second. But you hath he quickened. Should we go no further today, there is grace in action. That very phrase, you have He quickened us, it's full of grace, it's full of God. Verse 1 of chapter 2 is continuing on. As we've said from the verses in chapter 1. Who's the He? The He is referring back to what we have, the person described for us, identified for us in Ephesians 1 verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory. That's the He. The Lord hath quickened us, His people. What a verse to consider. That God hath quickened us. We who were dead in sins, as we'll see. You hath He quickened. Look at verse 17, Ephesians chapter 1, just very quickly. Ephesians 1 verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Do you see the Trinitarian Godhead there? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Salvation's a Trinitarian work. The Father planned it. The Son provided it. The Spirit applied it. The salvation of God, of grace, is all of Him. You have He quickened. The Godhead, every part of the Godhead, every member of the Godhead is involved in our salvation. And when we come into verse 1 of chapter 2, you have He quickened, there's a very clear, direct reference to the entire Godhead. So in our salvation, in your salvation, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all had a part to play. You have He quickened. What grace. But let's come a little further now into chapter 2. And really see now the pity of grace. Really see those who have been quickened, what we were before we were quickened. This is what a description of us before we were saved. Before saving grace was extended to us, here is who grace pitied. Look at verse number 1, the pity of grace. Pity first of all those who were dead. You hath He quickened who were dead. Not just dead, but dead in trespasses and sins. Doubly dead, totally dead. Trespasses means the crossing of a boundary. It means the going over of a mark. And as such, it means going in the wrong direction. And you see, by nature, we had crossed God's boundary. We were going in the wrong direction. By nature, we had trespassed. In the wrong territory. We had gone against God's word and His holiness and His person. Not only were we dead in trespasses, but we were dead in sin. Sin means to fall short of the mark. You put those two terms together, it just emphasizes just how dead sinners were. We were by nature. We were totally depraved. Why? Because we were totally dead. You hath He quickened who were dead. What can a dead man do? Nothing. Nothing. You can speak to a dead corpse, but it won't hear you. You can touch a dead corpse, but it won't feel you. You can try to set up a dead corpse, but it'll fall down because someone who is dead can do nothing. And yet, thank God today that the grace of God pitied such dead sinners who could do nothing to help ourselves. We could do nothing to save ourselves because we were dead
trespasses and in sins. That's the pity of grace.
Not only did grace pity dead sinners, but we come into verse 2, we notice that grace pity deviant sinners. Verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. We were sinners by nature. But here we see in verse 2, we were also sinners by practice because we walked according to the course of this world. Walked according to the age, to the ways of this world, in deviance away from God. We walked according to the world. And the world here in verse number 2, it doesn't mean the geographical world. It's a reference to the ways of the world, to the system of the world. The world which has been in sin ever since the fall. You see, our wills, our desires were bound to sin, tied to sin. And we walked according to the course of this world, according to sin. You walked according to the standards of this world, to the practices of this world. Why? Because we were dead in sins. And as a result, we walked deviantly away from God. And let's not never forget, folks, this world is totally opposite to God. This world is no friend to grace. This world is a world of sin. And we walked according to the course of this world. We were not born good and then just went bad. We were born sinners, and before saving grace reached us, we lived in sin, we walked according to sin, and we ordered our lives according to sin. And yet, grace reached such deviant sinners. Grace also reached devilish sinners. Look at verse 2 again. According to the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air is Satan himself. Don't fool yourself into thinking that Satan has no power. He does. Yes, his power is limited. Yes, he is under the control of God. See, he has power. He blinds sinners. He binds sinners. He holds them in sin. He demands that his followers walk his way. And those ways are opposite to God. John speaking. John chapter 8 and the verse 44, he says, "Ye are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do." And yet grace is extended to such sinners as we are. What pity. What mercy. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. We were also disobedient. Verse 2, it says, "Though they that now worketh, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And that follows on. There's a collection of thoughts here. It follows on from us being dead, and because we are dead, we are deviant, and because we are deviant, we are devilish, and because of that, we're disobedient. Disobedient to God. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That word worketh there, it carries on an ongoing work. See, Satan never gives up. He is committed to keeping sinners in the grip and in the power of sin. If you're not saved this morning, you're not a free agent as you might think you are. You're under the influence and under the control of Satan. And let's always remember that, folks. Whenever we see wickedness and sinfulness in this day and generation, as we see it everywhere we turn, remember, they're only acting in accordance to the course of this world and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. under the influence of sin and Satan, such as their disobedience and stubbornness to God's will and God's word. Sinners are not just doing as they please. They are manipulated and controlled by their father, the devil, yet. And we were there too. Yet grace reached us. Verse number 3, we see as well, we were defiled, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were defiled. The lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Natural sinful desires and lusts, actual sinful actions and practices, totally defiled by sin. Isaiah tells us that from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Yet grace in that state reached us. We see as well, we were doomed. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Under the sentence of death, condemned already, yet the grace of God reached us in such a state. Do you see today the pity of grace? Do you see how far grace had to go in order to lift us and to save us and to redeem us? Grace reached to the lowest to pick up the vilest. And you folks, whenever you read verses 2 and 3, and whenever you confront people with what we were in our sin, this is why the gospel of grace is hated today, because men and women do not want to acknowledge that they are sinners by nature. They do not want to acknowledge that they're doomed. They do not want to acknowledge that they're defiled. They do not want to acknowledge that they're deviant or they're devilish or they're disobedient. They do not want to acknowledge they're dead. But the scriptures tell us that to such people, grace can be extended. There's the pity of grace. Verses 2 and 3, verses 1, 2 and 3 is really a description of all of humanity. The pity of grace. But I want you to see as well, secondly here, not only the pity of grace, but then the provision of grace. So we have seen those whom grace pities, but now we come to see what grace provided. What was it that needed to lift us out of that state that we were in? The provision of grace. As we think of the provision of grace, notice the intervention of grace. Look at verse 4. But God. But God. What words? They turn this whole scenario around. But God. Child of God today, but God. We were sinners by nature, but God. They turn this picture from hopelessness and darkness to light and to joy. What words of grace, but God. What depths of incalculable, incomprehensible grace in those two words, but God. God intervened in the plight of man, because if God hadn't intervened, we would be totally hopeless. God from all eternity planned and purposed a way to redeem sinners who were dead in trespasses and sins, to release us from the power and penalty of that sin. But God, and you see, God loved us not because of us, but rather in spite of us. But God. How do we know that God is rich in mercy? How do we know of God's great love wherewith He hath loved us even when we were dead in sins, verse 5, hath quickened us together with Christ? How do we know that? Well, look at those words in verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, here's the key, with Christ. Verse number 6. Hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Verse number 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Here's what grace provided. Christ, the Son of God, the one who is full of grace and full of mercy. You see, all grace comes to us today through Christ. And there is not one drop or ounce of grace outside of Christ. There's no grace in the church. There's no grace in man. There's no grace in religion. There's no grace in systems today. Grace is found alone in Christ. Christ is the soul, the only mediator of grace to sinful men. But God, that's the intervention of grace. But notice as well the regeneration through grace. Back in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Quickened us together with Christ. How does that grace reach us? It reaches us through Christ, through the work of Christ, that dead, depraved, defiled, disobedient, deviant, doomed sinners are regenerated, given new life. Hath quickened us together. The Holy Spirit applying the work of redemption on the cross to the repentant, believing sinner. You see, we didn't need another life. We didn't need a different variant of life. We needed new life. Christ gives us that new life. The dead sinner is made alive, passed from death to life, given eternal life, regenerated, made anew, all because of grace. Verse 5, by grace. Nothing we could do to help ourselves. And even in that work of regeneration, nothing we did either. We didn't work with God. We didn't cooperate with God in the work of regeneration. In the work of giving us that new life to quicken our dead spirits, it was all of God. There's the regeneration through grace. There's the intervention of grace. But notice as well, there's the elevation because of grace. Look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Raised us up. That's what grace does. It lifts us up out of the cemetery of sin. Takes us to the right hand of God the Father. What grace! Grace that lifts the sinner from the pit of sin and places them in Christ. Where is Christ today? Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. We are in Christ. We are one in Christ. And look at verse 6. Let this thought thrill your soul today. Dear child of God, has made us, sit together in heavenly places. What wonder of grace today. Lifted us out of the dirt of sin. Placed us in Christ and made us sit together with Him in heavenly places. When Christ left this earth, He ascended back to heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. And here's the truth that Paul is seeking to bring out here. Is that when Christ went up, we went up with Him. When Christ sat down, we sat down with Him. Now I know we're in the world today. This is our physical location. But God, who sees the end from the beginning, sees us in terms of our relationship to Christ. Where He is, we are too. What He has experienced, we have experienced too. When He died, we died. When He arose, we arose. When He ascended, we ascended. When He sat down at the right hand of God, we sat down as well. And when He comes, we will still be with Him. What a joy! He has made us sit together this day in heavenly places. We have already been elevated to heaven because God sees us as if we're already there. That's why we're secure in our salvation. Yes, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And yes, one day we'll take that journey to glory, but as far as the Lord sees us today, we're already in heaven. Already seated at the right hand of God the Father. What a thrill today to think that that has all been because of grace. In the mind of God, we're already there. We're as good for heaven as if we are there. Because, as Paul teaches us in here in verse 6, we are already there. Lifted out of sin and elevated to Christ. How did that happen? By grace. By grace. That's what grace provided. Provided Christ. There's the pity of grace, the provision of grace. But finally, I want you to see in these last few verses now the purpose of grace. The purpose of grace. God didn't save anyone simply to give them a one-way ticket to heaven. He didn't save us just simply to save us from hell and from a lost eternity. There's a purpose in God's grace. That while we travel through this world, while we make our journey to glory, there's a purpose for us. Look at verse 7. The purpose, first of all, is to magnify God, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. Through Christ Jesus. To show the exceeding riches of His grace. Think about that. Those who are saved, think about what we were, hopeless and helpless, yet God by His grace redeems us, and He does so that we might magnify and glorify God, the riches of His grace in our lives. Our lives are to be trophies of God's grace. We are to display the grace of God in our lives, that as others look upon us, they might see God's grace. Writing to the Corinthian church, Paul says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us." Our lives are to magnify Him. Our lives are not about getting a name for us. You already know how much I have no time for these man-made ministries. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter about man. It's about Him. We are to show the exceeding riches of His grace. That's one of the purposes of grace, to magnify Him. But notice another purpose. Verse number 8. Not only to magnify God, but it's also to humble man. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is to humble us. Grace is to keep us low. Grace and faith, it's not of us. The very faith to believe, to receive, to experience this grace is all of Him. And you know, folks, here's the message that the evangelical world needs to grasp again. It's not of works, but it's of grace. The only work that will save your soul is the finished work of Christ and the cross, and that was all of grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord knew what was in the heart of man. If salvation was by works, man would boast of how many works he had completed in order to merit God's salvation. But because of all of it's all of grace and not of works, it's to humble us. And then with that desire to magnify God and to humble us within the life of the Christian, this amazing grace should lead us then to a life of gratitude, a life of obedience, a life of service. Look at verse 10. With this we finish. For we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by good works. But when we are saved, there are good works to follow. That word workmanship is where we get our English word poem from. Masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. Our lives as we live them for the Lord are to be lived to good works, that through our good works that others may see them and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We live today in an age of cheap grace. An age that tells us you can be saved and you can just live as you want. An age that tells us that if you're saved, well, it doesn't make any difference to how you live. That's not the gospel of the Bible. That's the gospel of works and the gospel of man. Cheap grace isn't grace at all. We are saved unto good works. Our lives are to be different. Our lives are to be changed. Whenever we come to Christ, people are to see a difference in our lives. That they look upon us, they see the grace of God. Mr. Spurgeon said that if a life has not been changed by grace, then that life has not been saved by grace. Because the grace that does not change a life can never save a soul. You see, whenever we understand more of the depths of the grace, of what grace has done, of how grace has reached us, how grace has saved us, it will produce humility. It will produce holiness. It will produce honor. Is it any wonder, therefore, that the reformers delighted and thrilled and yet were humbled by the great rediscovery of the grace of God in salvation? As Luther struggled, the whole matter of salvation and justification. And then the word of God dawned upon him, the just shall live by faith. And that faith is all of the grace of God. Martin Luther wrote many things. But in relation to the subject of grace, he said that the saved are singled out not by their own merits, but by the grace of the mediator. Think about it. We are seen in Christ today. We who were wretched and defiled, we who had nothing to offer God, yet when grace reached us, grace changed us. It was all through Jesus Christ. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, were it not for the grace of God, there would be no such thing as a Christian. If it were not for God's grace, there would be no salvation. And like Paul, we say today, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By God's grace, we are what we are today. Grace has reached us, and grace will keep us. We are saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Let's bow in prayer.